It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
So they backdated all these ballots that came in. They had people, and we have affidavits on that too. They had people backdating ballots so that if somebody came in the 4th or 5th or 6th, which was illegal because the legislature didn't approve it, which everything has to be approved by the legislature. And they had judges making deals, and they had electoral officials making deals, like this character in Georgia who's a disaster. And the governor's done nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. I'm ashamed that I endorsed him. But I look at what's going on. It's so terrible. But what happened in this election, Maria, I can't imagine has ever happened before. They stuffed the ballot boxes. You know, I've been hearing that expression for many years. You have to stuff the ballot. They stuffed the ballot boxes. And they used COVID as a means to stuff the ballot boxes. Joe Biden did not get 16 million more votes than Barack Hussein Obama. He didn't get it. Joe Biden did not get 14 million more votes than Hillary Clinton. And by the way, he didn't beat Obama in the black communities. You go to some of these communities where Obama is very, very popular, and he beats him in some of these communities. But all throughout the rest of the United States, in a black community, he does actually poorly. He doesn't do very well. But he beats Obama in swing states. Now, think of that. He beat Obama in swing states. You know that didn't happen. They stuffed the ballot box. Mm. Everybody knows that.
All right. Sandy Rios with you this morning. Happy Monday after Thanksgiving. And I hope you had a wonderful time with your family, just reordering your priorities and understanding that no matter what happens in our world, and lots of things are happening, and I'm going to be in the business of telling you about that today, that God sits on his throne. We were studying Isaiah yesterday morning, the sixth chapter, where Isaiah lifted up his eyes and he saw God seated on the throne, high and lifted up, and he is still there. He hasn't budged. He's not insecure, and that's who we look to ultimately for everything. So as things go a little crazy, and they just might go, we're trying to prevent the craziest. We're asking God to deliver us from what I think the left and the wicked people in this country want to perpetrate on half of the other half of the Americans who love the country, love the Constitution, honor God at least. Many of them love God. Some just honor him, don't know him personally. And what they are about to receive at the hands of people who have just taken such power and control of the levers of power in this country is going to be a horrendous thing. And so we're fighting to stop that. Nevertheless, whatever happens, we trust God and we look to him for future and for strength and sustenance, whatever we're going through. A personal word, and then I'm going to jump right back into the news. I thank so much Fred Jackson and Christian Adams for filling in for me last week. And I know you wonder, well, I it was a bad time to be gone. It was hard, but let me just say that on a personal note, it has been a year since I've seen my family. My children are in Scotland. My son, they're all, you know, COVIDed away. And it's sad for me. And so Thanksgiving is the last time I saw them. So as God would have it, he brought really good friends to us from out of town. And they've been with us and we've been able to, you know, enjoy each other and celebrate and have Thanksgiving together. It was a great gift to me personally. Plus, I had a chance to rest because sometimes I worry about things. So anyway, it was a nice rest. I did get to sleep. I had the fellowship of friends. I had a great time worshiping. And now we're back at it. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is really impossible. I would raise my hand to tell you that what I want to attempt to do with you cannot be done. I have an enormous amount of information that I have tried to absorb and want to relay to you. And so I'm going to do my best to make it as clear as I can, given my own limitations. And I ask you to be really active listeners, because you may even want to take notes this morning. I'm going to refer you to articles, but I'll try to make it clear. And you guys try to listen carefully, because this is your country. This is your future. And it is what it is in terms of our limitations. If I had reporters, you know, let's go to this reporter on this story, this reporter on this story, but I don't have that. So I'm the reporter on all the stories. And so it's a challenge, but I want to meet that challenge as best I can. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time this morning talking to you about that hearing in Pennsylvania. Oh my goodness. If you missed that last week, I'm going to ask Adam to link that Breitbart article that has a lot of clips from it, but it's even not as good as I would want. I would really want you to watch it. It was amazing, and I'll give you a taste of it. Here is just a minute and a half excerpt of a witness, an expert witness testifying before the members of the Pennsylvania legislature, not all of them, but some of them, about what he saw on election night when they were counting votes. This is clip two.
So at the very beginning of the chart, where there's a circle that says on election day, what that indicates is there is a spike in loaded votes, 337,000 plus or minus of some votes that were added in there in one big batch. So that was an anomaly in the reporting. Normally you would expect to see a smooth curve going up, not any big spikes. That's kind of what Greg was talking about, the anomalies of loading and uploading those votes. So that big spike that occurs there is a prime indicator of fraudulent voting.
And that's 604,000 votes in 90 minutes, is that right?
Correct. This is 337 votes, 337,000 votes in that
period of time.
Yes.
And when you look at this entire curve with all these spikes, can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures were about 570,000 that all those spikes represent over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
All right. So when we look at the data, and lots of people are looking at it, a lot of experts, I'm going to cite several of them, what we see is that in these swing states, as you were watching the election on election night, this is not something you haven't heard, I don't think, but you need to hear it again, because it's the focus of a lot of attention right now. Suddenly, you know, they decided all at once, those swing states, that they were going to shut down for the night and, you know, reconvene in the morning. It was just, you know, too much work, just overwhelming. When in your life have you ever seen an election like that? Never, I would say. I've been watching elections since I was a kid. That's a lot of years. And they count until they're finished counting. That's kind of the way it goes. But no, they shut down and then dismissed people. People went home. And that's when a lot of stuff happened. Because President Trump was ahead by hundreds of thousands of votes in many states, especially Pennsylvania. He was ahead in Wisconsin and Michigan. He was way ahead in Georgia. And then suddenly, during that little break time, all the hundreds of thousands of votes showed up, and they were like, well, almost all for Joe Biden. You just heard the people laugh in that room. That was Pennsylvania alone. And so that's kind of, look, to me, I'm going to tell you a lot of detail as best I can. But to me, it's common sense that something's not right here. Something's not right. The mathematicians are telling us. I've got an article I want to send you. I'll make available to you. That's all about the math on this. I can't understand most of it. I understand the gist of it. But for those of you that enjoy math and understand theories and curves and all the percentages, you will find it fascinating. But something's not right here. Something's just not right. And so I will start my kind of monologue in a way by saying this. Our problem, meaning those of us that love this country and a sense that something's very wrong here, our problem is not evidence, in spite of what the naysayers say. Oh, we're getting tons of evidence. Sidney Powell has brought us tons of evidence, and we're just now hearing about more of it. We have evidence. We have evidence not just from the voter machines, but we have evidence from other sources of the kinds of I'll tell you about some of the other people that are doing other things related to mail-in ballots and drop boxes and all the nefarious things that took place. Voting for dead people and claiming addresses that don't exist and on it goes. Significant amounts of people. So there's a lot of it. What we lack, I'll tell you right now, what we lack is the will to do something. Because I can tell you that people in D.C., it's like, oh, come on, let's just... Not my friends. No, not my friends. But the powers that be in D.C., the Republican powers even that be, it's like, oh, come on, let's just, you know, just Mr. Trump, just, you know, concede and let's get on with it. But we have to concentrate on Georgia, the Senate election. That's what they tell us. All eyes must go to Georgia. Well, let me tell you, that runoff election is vitally important. That's totally true. I'm not even sure the people saying let's just move on fully understand what's about to hit them. I really don't think they understand how dangerous a situation we are in. Otherwise, they would be willing to fight to sort this thing out for the president of the United States. Okay, so what we lack is the will. But the people don't lack the will. And I can tell you in Pennsylvania, they have leadership there in their House and Senate that don't lack the will. In fact, we're going to play some excerpts from that. Okay, so I want to just run through some of the states here because there's some news overnight in a couple of the states that you need to know. In Georgia, I'll just start with that. A judge over the weekend blocked The judge there was issued an order that they could not wipe or reset the election machines. They were not allowed to do that. And then it was Timothy Batten. He's a judge. He issued the order on November the 29th, and then suddenly after that, reversed the order, saying that defendants aren't in possession of the machines. Now, Lynn Wood, who's bringing, you know, that's his home state. He's the attorney bringing a lot of these cases. He was flabbergasted. He said, what? Judge reversed order based on defendants' claim that Georgia counties control voting machines? Why are Georgia officials determined to wipe these machines clean by resetting them? We understand that in, I think it's the Fulton County, that is where Atlanta is, that they already wiped all the machines clean and reset them. The Secretary of State there tells us, you know, promises this, there's nothing to see. Everything is fine. It was a great election, something Georgia should be proud of. He wrote that in a USA Today article. But they're not done in Georgia, and I may come back to that in a little bit. So another thing out of Georgia, there was a Dominion server crash in Georgia. Let me make sure I got this date right. November the 29th, Georgia recount in Fulton County delayed by Dominion server crash. So there is a federal lawsuit alleging widespread voter fraud in Georgia. Sidney Powell claims that state officials, including Brian Kemp, were bribed to be part of a conspiracy with Dominion to tilt the election to President-elect Joe Biden's favor. Dominion has vociferously denied those false assertions. Kemp has denounced them. But officials in Fulton, Georgia's most populous county, and that is Atlanta, indicated that most of the ballot counting to the recount is complete and it will resume on Monday morning. But I just told you there's a crash with the server, and so I don't know what's going to happen. A federal judge ordered all voting machines not be wiped and then rescinded the order. I just told you that. So this is a different news source. There's another order late in the evening ordering that officials are temporarily restrained from allowing the alteration, destruction, or erasure of software or data from Dominion machines in three other Georgia counties, Cobb, Gwinnett, and Cherokee. All right, Georgia has already certified their election results, and Joe Biden and the president are 13 votes apart. And the other part of this is now we're finding out that Mark Zuckerberg spent millions of dollars in Georgia to kind of help things along, $350 million. I'm going to do an entire segment on that probably tomorrow. All right, so that's Georgia, but there are a lot of other states to talk about, including Pennsylvania, so stay tuned or fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
T children's hearts around the world have been touched and opened to Christ with Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gifts. The next step is the greatest journey. Your gift of $6 provides evangelism and discipleship for children and multiplication of the church in over 100 countries worldwide. Join with AFR and other listeners in this powerful outreach, sending the gospel into the corners of the world. Since 2009, as a result of this program, nearly 9 million children have made decisions to follow Christ. You can send one child on the greatest journey for just $6. $60 reaches 10 children. $150 reaches 25 children. Your donation provides instruction materials and 12 discipleship lessons in a child's own language, led by a teacher trained by Samaritan's Purse. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at AFR.net and help send children on the greatest journey.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Jim Carroll, Director of the Office of National Drug Control Policy. He oversees international anti-drug efforts and works to ensure that these efforts are coordinated with state and local anti-drug activities. 1 Corinthians 6:19 reminds us of the care we must take of ourselves. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Jim Carroll in his work as our country's drug czar. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Todd to the number 49596. That's Todd to the number 49596. A New Jersey Christian woman has filed a lawsuit against Starbucks. She claims she was fired because she refused to wear a gay pride t-shirt. Starbucks says the allegations are baseless. Betsy Free says she asked her store manager in June of 2019 whether she would be forced to wear the t-shirt. Mrs. Free told her boss she believed in a biblical definition of marriage. The manager said the gay pride shirt was not mandatory, but a few weeks later, she was given one of the shirts. In response, Mrs. Free said her colleagues needed Jesus, and lickety-split, she was fired after nearly 4 years on the job. The termination notice mentioned that Starbucks enforces values that reflect inclusion and diversity. In other words, the only thing more costly than a cup of Starbucks coffee is rejecting their LGBT agenda. Be sure to download my free podcast. Listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern on ToddStarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The media doesn't even want to cover it. I mean, you're doing something. You're actually very brave because you're doing something. The media doesn't want to talk about it. They know how fraudulent this is. It's no different than Hunter. It's no different than Hunter. They don't want to talk about Hunter. So they totally closed it off, big tech and the media, other than the New York Post, as you remember, which took a lot of heat. It was terminated. It was terminated from, I guess, Twitter, maybe Facebook. But it's a situation the likes of which we don't have freedom of the press in this country. We have suppression by the press. They suppress. You know, you can't have a scandal if nobody reports about it. This is the greatest fraud in the history of our country from an electoral standpoint. And I guess you could build it up bigger than an electoral. What's bigger from an electoral standpoint? What's bigger than this? This is the essence of our country. This is the whole ball game, and they cheated.
All right, that's President Trump with Maria Bartiromo, and he's spot on. He's spot on, and this is what we're seeing. I'm going to give you more information as it comes here. I'm going to go to Pennsylvania in just a second, but I want to talk to you others of you in other states. There was a tweet yesterday by Sidney Powell, and she said, "Yes, Virginia, you experienced serious election fraud against multiple conservative candidates. The Kraken team is going to see you soon." So I'm just telling you, those of you in Virginia, stay tuned. There's obviously, well, we know President Trump was way ahead in Virginia at election night, which was stunning considering Virginia has been going blue. So Virginia, stay tuned. That's what Sydney is promising. Michigan, there is another lawsuit being filed, and it's being filed by the Amistad Project, which is part of the Thomas More Society. They're good friends of mine. And it's being led by a former attorney general from Kansas, whose name escapes me in this very minute. They call it a pattern of lawlessness. And we'll talk about Michigan at greater length. But let me say that Michigan is one of three states, Michigan, Arizona, and Pennsylvania, where the legislatures are actually going to do some sort of official hearing and oversight. And, of course, the legislatures are the ones that can actually intercede here if the courts don't find their backbone to do something. So those are three states that are going to be revisiting this. Mark Elias, who's our mastermind of all of this nefariousness on the left, brilliant guy, Hillary Clinton dude, Barack Obama dude, he weighed in on Wisconsin, very happy. He says, "Breaking, Wisconsin's presidential recount is completed. Joe Biden gained 87 votes and again won the state. Trump becomes the first presidential candidate in history to lose recounts in two different states. Trump and his allies remain 1-39 in post-election litigation." Well, so Mark Elias is taking a victory lap, and we'll see. You know, he might have victory because he's very smart, and he's really, you know, they did the work. Boy, they laid the groundwork for stealing it all, and it's working out very well for them. But they, I don't think, have factored in some of the patriots that I know that are busy working to push this back. In fact, one of them is I believe he is the Speaker of the House, or he's one of the leaders. I guess it's in the State Senate in Pennsylvania. His name is Doug Mastriano, and he spoke at the Pennsylvania hearing just last week. I think it was Wednesday, and I want you to hear just part of his opening statement. Let's listen.
"And as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Guess what? Guess what? The truth's out there. Media, you should have found these witnesses. You need to do your job. Now you see them out here. Do your job. You're essential to this republic, and without you doing your job, instead of being partisan hacks, this republic can't stand. So now you got some information. You got some witnesses with courage. These people are heroes to me. As a retired Army colonel, I look at them, and I say, you guys are outstanding. Thanks for being a little step up. Because I am cognizant that the so-called tolerant people on the left will not show much love or tolerance to people they disagree with. And so thank you for standing, because you're warriors being able to stand for and save this republic. So thank you for going forward here. I mean, indeed, I started this off quoting from John Adams. We are in Adams County. You know, facts are stubborn things. There's a lot of hard facts out there, and guess what? As history and change in 1863 in Gettysburg, back then it's July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So on this day, history is changing for our country and state back at Gettysburg once again. I mean, I don't even know how this happened in America. We could send 50 years ago, you know, men to the moon, but we can't have a safe, secure election in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. What's going on here? It's got to be by design, because we have the technology. We have stealth aircraft that are the envy of the world, but we can't run an election better than Afghanistan. Congressman Perry, you and I were in Afghanistan, and I don't know how in the heck Afghanistan has more secure, safe elections than Pennsylvania does. I mean, beam me up, Scotty. There's no sign of intelligent life anywhere. Really. We move heaven and earth with American dollars to secure elections in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. We can't do it in our own state. It's by design. There's people in Pennsylvania not interested in safe, secure elections. And we have to correct this. There's two things that need to happen. First off, we need to make sure that the real winner is sent forth from this presidential election. And number two, yeah. Number two, we need to fix it. This doesn't happen ever again.
All right, so that's the first part of what he had to say. You know, actually, I think let's go ahead and listen to the rest of it, because he talks about Pennsylvania's history, and it's a rallying cry for patriots. Let's listen. This is State Senator Doug Mastriano.
I can't believe we're having this conversation here in Pennsylvania. You know, this is the kind of stuff I hear about that goes on in Belarus under Lukashenko, or in Russia under Putin, under Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Really? Here in our state? I mean, this is disgusting to me. You know, I watched when I was doing strategy in Russia, you know, Putin's people stuffing ballot boxes, the same thing that happened in Pennsylvania. When I saw that 15, 20 years ago, I was like, oh, thank God we're not like that. What happened? What happened? We're not going to let it stand. You know, I saw, you have to forgive people because we are a constitutional republic, so I'll forgive those that say democracy, but I saw one man had a sign in Philadelphia, and the irony wasn't lost on me. Democracy dies in Philadelphia. Can you imagine the irony of that? You know, where the light of liberty was lit in 1776, it transformed this world, where in this very same state, a new birth of freedom. And then, of course, let's not forget 2001, Todd Beamer. Let's roll. You know what? It's our time to roll. This is no time. You know, democracy can die in darkness, in dark rooms with no transparency and accountability. We're shining light on this darkness here. We're going to take our state back. We're not standing aside in this hour. You know, one vote, one person. One legal vote per person, and any cheating goes in there disenfranchises an American. And I can't believe this is happening here, and we're not going to let it stand. I don't know why it's so hard. You know, I know it's hard, because this has been going on here for a lot longer than we imagine. But in Galatians 6:9, we're told by St. Paul, grow not weary doing good, because in due time you'll reap your harvest. We're going to reap our harvest.
All right, that's good. I mean, he goes on to say lots of other great things. I wanted you to get the spirit of that rally, and he certainly presents that. But in that rally then, there were, I don't know how many witnesses. I wasn't personally able to watch the whole thing either. I just saw bits and pieces, but I heard some incredible testimony from experts and people that were credible witnesses on the ground who saw various things, and they're risking so much. Do you have no idea? You have no idea the pressure people are under. I say that not to scare you. I say that to, come on, buck up. It's going to be your time too. I'm telling you that you're going to have to make choices you never thought you were going to have to make. And so I find your courage now, determined now to do the right thing and take what comes. And so let's listen to Leah Hoops. She is was a poll watcher, and she has a great testimony in Pennsylvania. And let's listen to what she had to say. Clip one.
About 18 months ago, I became a volunteer and assisted with a campaign for a magisterial judge. In that process, I was approached by my current chairman and became an appointed committee woman for the Bethel Township Republican Party. In conjunction with my committee position, I also started volunteering for the Trump campaign, registering voters, and assisting with events. During this time, I started a watchdog group and reached out to the Thomas More Society. Now, associates, we've been focusing our efforts in election integrity. Our greatest efforts have been in following closely the newly elected and completely Democrat-run Delaware County Council and the Democrat Majority Election Board. This also includes any and all contractors, support staff, and any key players involved. What we found was actually concerning. Not only was private grant money used from the Center for Tech and Life owned by Google and Mark Zuckerberg, but pop-up voter sites were also approved. These pop-up voter sites were placed in heavily Democrat cities, including Chester and Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, in which case the grant money from the CTCL was used to pay for electioneering. It was literally a one-stop shop. Walk in, apply, get your ballot, submit, and you were out the door. But where this didn't take place was in heavily Republican and independent areas. Let's also make note that the voting machine warehouse supervisor is a Bernie Sanders delegate, who was also solely responsible for every scanner, machine, V-card, and all machines with absolutely zero experience in this area. The real story is the $2.1 million spent to move the counting center from the courthouse in Media, Pennsylvania, which has been something that has been done for decades, to the wharf in Chester, Pennsylvania. Let me explain to you the layout of the counting center. It is in the middle of a huge parking lot, which sits back on Seaport Drive, next to loading docks. It has multi-million dollar connections to the company Power HRG, and Subaru Park Soccer Stadium. The counting center was on the first floor, in which there were multiple places to bring in ballots in and out of, elevators and many rooms in which workers had access. I was there for three straight days. What became of concern was the back room, which had no observers, no line of sight or transparency into the process. There was no cooperation, complete resistance from election night and every day after. It took until our lawyer got an injunction to get into that back room in which pre-canvassing was transpiring. Even with an injunction, which was a joke, we were granted 5 minutes every 2 hours. And the setup was sitting in a chair 20 feet from any physical ballot. I truly wish I had enough time today to recreate what I witnessed and felt during those moments, but we did not gather here today just for me and my experience, but rather a collection of experiences from Americans like myself. What I hope to achieve is for the public to understand is what we is that we have stuck our necks out, have been intimidated, threatened, bullied, have spent countless hours away from our families, friends, and jobs. We have signed affidavits under penalty of perjury, which should be consideration enough to know that this is a very serious issue. I'm here for one thing only, and that is to speak the truth. This is not about party. This is about my country. Every American deserves transparency, truth, and be able to question those in power without fear of intimidation, bullying, or backlash. I hope this committee takes action if needed, and justice will be swift to anyone involved in fraudulent activity. The Republic is angry, disgruntled, tired, beaten up, and ready to defend this country.
Yes. All right, Leah Hoops testifying in in Pennsylvania last Wednesday. All right, other testimony I want to bring to you. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Phil Waldron, who's a computer warfare expert, said an estimated 1.2 million votes were altered in Pennsylvania. Now, keep in mind that Mr. Biden defeated, allegedly, President Trump by 12,600 votes. So Waldron alone says that 1.2 million votes were altered. His team of analysts focused on anomalies of spikes in election returns. In one instance, about 337,000 ballots he called loaded votes had been added to the count on election day during a 90-minute span. Normally, you would expect to see a smooth curve. That big spike that occurred there is a prime indicator of fraudulent votes. He noted there, and this is a repeat of we played him actually talking at the beginning of the show today. He noted there appeared to be more than 600,000 votes tabulated during the unusual spikes. Out of that figure, he said roughly 570,000 of those went to Mr. Biden, while about 3,200 went to Mr. Trump. All right, so that's just part of the testimony they heard. Also, a Republican poll watcher in Pennsylvania described irregularities. Now, this is really incredible. I wish we had the sound from this guy. But his name was Glenn Stenstrom. He's also an expert in security fraud. He told the hearing that he had witnessed a number of chain of custody violations around mail-in ballots. The balance of votes from drop boxes and the handling of USB card flash drives, all of which, he said, broke the rules defined by the Delaware County Board of Elections and the Election Process Review. They didn't follow one, Stenstrom said. It shocked me that this could happen. He described witnessing a situation in which data on USB cards was uploaded to voting machines by a warehouse supervisor without being observed by a poll watcher, which he said he saw happen at least 24 times. He's walking in with baggies, which we have pictures of, and that were submitted in our affidavits. And he added that Democratic poll watchers saw the same thing. He goes on to say, people ask me all the time. He said there were 20 to 24 USB cards that were uploaded. And he said, as of today, 47 are missing. 47 USB V cards are missing. He's calling for an audit. He said that there are at least 120,000 ballots that remain in question. He said, there's no cure for this. I don't believe as a citizen and an observer that anybody could certify this vote in good conscience. All right, now let me just tell you, as I hear that music playing, that's just one part. You heard at least a tiny bit of what the testimony that was given in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania State House is introducing a resolution disputing the election results, and that's really where the power is. Our state reps and our state houses right now are the ones that can make a difference. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Alex and Bert, you guys are such a blessing to us.
I have been wanting to call in for a while, honestly.
I really appreciate what you guys do.
Exploring the Word, where friends get together to learn more about the Bible.
My question is coming out of the book of Genesis.
And the God of the Bible.
My son asked, who created God?
Join Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
God bless you for all you do.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Johnson, I'll take the good news deep into the jungle. I'll go anywhere.
Emma, let me ask you this.
Okay.
When was the last time you shared the gospel with your neighbor?
I'll go next door to tell Mr. Patterson.
Learn more about what it means to be a missionary on Exploring Missions with Bird Harper.
I'll go anywhere.
Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Sometimes there's a delay between crying out to God in prayer and seeing those prayers answered. It is imperative for us in those times that we don't waver in our confidence in our God. The next verse goes on to say, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." You see, the delay between supplication and delivered answer is one of the ways God develops endurance in us. He desires that the roots of our faith grow down deep, that we become trees planted by rivers of living water, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in His work. In this, we grow beyond superficial Christianity.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. God said in Ezekiel's day, "I sought for a man, just one man, among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And because God could not find such a man, a nation was destroyed." Our nation is on the brink, and God is looking for men today who will stand in the gap where evil is pouring into our homes, our churches, our schools, our communities, and our nation. We'll resist that evil, repair the breach, and build up the wall to protect our families and our nation from destruction. Men, this is our calling in particular. God is looking for men in our day who will plant their feet and say, "If Satan is going to get to my family, my church, my children's school, my nation, he's going to have to go through me." Are you willing to be that man today?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Arizona legislators today will take seriously their oath to the U.S. Constitution and their duty to the people of that state by holding public hearings on election fraud in the 2020 presidential race. Their Pennsylvania counterparts did the same last week. Viewers of the hearings in Gettysburg were shocked to learn that mysterious spikes of hundreds of thousands of votes were almost entirely for one candidate. Critical evidence, including 47 election system-related USB drives, has disappeared, and electoral machines used were subject to industrial-scale manipulation. It appears there's not only been widespread fraud, but a cover-up. Meanwhile, thousands of witnesses to fraud have reported their experiences to a new group, the Every Legal Vote Coalition. It has, in turn, sent an open letter to Arizona legislators calling for a full audit of their election. Join this appeal at www.everylegalvote.com. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Remember last week we talked about, and the week before that, about getting your boxes ready for the shoe boxes to send to kids through Operation Christmas Child. But this time, this week, we're now going to help Samaritan's Purse provide this Greatest Journey curriculum. And what that is the kids that get the boxes then are followed up with this teaching about who Jesus is. Because as you well know, I don't need to explain, it's not enough just to feed people or even meet their medical needs or even clothe them or house them. I was having a discussion with a friend last night about that. They have to be like us, like all human beings. It's renewed from within. That's what God does. And so the greatest journey is that. Samaritan's Purse has developed this great curriculum. It's a 12-lesson discipleship course in the child's native language, but they need your help to make that possible. It's something powerful we can do together as an AFR family. We can make Greatest Journey available to 10,000 more children around the world. So you're saying, how do I do that? Well, each child, it costs $6 for them to have this curriculum and have it taught to them. So if you give $6, that'll help one child. But of course, $60 will reach 10 children. And if you can give $150, that would provide teaching for 25 children. So if you'd like to be part of this, call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online at afr.net. That's afr.net. Okay. So I want to point out that you need to know that Pennsylvania had a great lawsuit filed by Congressman Mike Kelly and congressional candidate Sean Parnell. And they were challenging some of the things we've been talking about. The lower court ruled in their favor, and the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania just, I believe it was yesterday. It's hard to keep this track. A Supreme Court then shot it down and said that the lower court judge said that this suit was good. She thought it had a likelihood to succeed, but the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said, no, it was too late, and there would be too much harm done if they, you know, voters would be disenfranchised if they threw out these tainted votes. And so I think there'll be a follow-up from that, and Pennsylvania has, well, you heard the people from Pennsylvania. They're not willing to let this go. And so we'll see what happens there. Wisconsin, they're having a meeting this morning. Early this morning, I know about this. It's not a public meeting, but it's a meeting to talk about the recount and also the lawsuits. And there is a new one that's just been filed in Wisconsin. So, and Arizona, by the way, is meeting this morning also. They're going to have a hearing, kind of like Pennsylvania had, with witnesses about what happened in Arizona. So those are some things that are also happening. All right. So what else did I wanted to tell you? A lot of things. There is that story, that math article I wanted to pass to you, because I think it's here. Senator Rand Paul tweeted about this. I read this article. I thought it was great. But Rand's response to it after reading, he says, interesting. The Trump margin of defeat in four states occurred in four data dumps between 1:34 and 6:31 a.m. Statistic anomaly? Fraud? Look at the evidence and decide for yourself. That is, if big tech allows you to read this. And interestingly enough, Twitter, of course, on Rand Paul's tweet wrote, this claim about election fraud is disputed, because they have to correct all of us, you know, that not their facts. They, you know, and I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg is completely objective about this, since he spent nearly about $300 million in Georgia, you know, making sure that election went the right way. But let me say that this article is votepatternanalysis.substack. I'll put that on our Facebook page. I'll give Adam a better description on that, but it really is excellent for those of you that really want to know what the numbers are. I think you'll find that absolutely fascinating. All right, so here's another fascinating story. I'm going to go into this as much as I have time for, probably not as much as I'd like, but Joe Altman was a guest on Eric Metaxas's show, actually, a couple of days ago. And Joe is a business owner from Colorado. He's a self-described technical guru. And he has never been involved in politics. He said it's just that he started being concerned with what was happening, and he and his group, or whatever his powers are in Colorado, began to infiltrate Antifa. And they picked up on this name, Eric Coomer. And he didn't think anything about it until he heard later in the election that Eric Coomer is the one in charge of Dominion. And then he remembered what he knew about Eric Coomer. So this is very interesting. Let's listen. This is the first one, clip 9.
So I was looking for Antifa journalists. I was looking for journalists that I could basically out as activists and not as people that were actually doing journalism. And so I had a group of people, and we infiltrated Antifa. We infiltrated their meetings. We infiltrated their conference calls. We got information about what they were planning to do next. Not because I really wanted that, but I just wanted to figure out, you know, how they operate. And around this same time, by the way, you'll remember the Project Veritas story that came out with about Chris Jacks, the guy from Our Revolution, who said that he wanted to kill Americans in the street and that they would lie, cheat, and steal in order to get the results. So I wanted to know what I was up against with Antifa. They had written an article saying that I was a far-right extremist. I'm the farthest thing from far-right, by the way. I sit on boards that are left-leaning, bringing some sensibility to things that they do. I give an enormous amount of money to nonprofits for any city, youth, for education, medical, a number of things. And so I found myself on this phone call, this conference call, and you know, this guy named Eric started talking, and then somebody asked who Eric was. And they said, Eric's a Dominion guy. So they never said the word Coomer, right? It was just Eric. Who's Eric? And then Eric is the Dominion guy. So I just wrote Dominion, Eric. I just wrote that down. I really wasn't looking for him. I didn't know the significance of him at all. I still, even after I got off that call, didn't know the significance of it. But then he starts, they you know, tell him to keep, that he can keep going on. Go ahead. Somebody interrupts. What are we going to do if Trump wins? Something to that effect. And I'm paraphrasing this, right? So I didn't write down word for word what he said. But Eric responds, don't worry about the election. Trump's not going to win. So he is the director of strategy and security for Dominion Voting Systems.
Yeah, okay. So now we know what his position is. Eric Coomer, director of strategy and whatever he said, director of strategy for Dominion. Okay, so then he gets in the deep weeds about Antifa because he wants to know more about Eric Coomer when he starts hearing that Eric Coomer is part of Antifa. He's caught on to that. He's been on calls with him. Not personally. They were like monitoring these calls, not really on these calls. Let's listen to what he said about Antifa. This is clip 10.
And so I got off the call, and I didn't actually have to use a whole lot of data to do this. It wasn't very clever. I just put into Google Eric Dominion Denver, Colorado. That's it. That's all I did. And up pops, you know, Eric Coomer, Dominion Voting Systems. I did a little bit of research, found out that he has a doctorate from Cal Berkeley in nuclear physics. He's a mastermind in coding. Yeah, and I've also tied him to Our Revolution, the movement. I've tied him to other things. But even at that point, I did not understand what I was looking at. I didn't understand the significance of Dominion Voting Systems. I didn't actually even get involved in and even going any further. I just set that information aside, because I was looking for Antifa journalists. But I still didn't know who Eric Coomer was. It still wasn't, to me, none of that actually made any difference to me. I put him aside. I just thought that he maybe worked for the CIA or the FBI. I did not feel that I was dealing with someone that was Antifa material. You know, fast forward to the election. We all know we went to sleep at night thinking, okay, Trump actually has won this. It's going to be fine. We wake up in the morning to a totally different story. Right. And what was odd about that night is that the networks looked like they were working together to not call the election. Right. Very strange. Right. And if you go back and look, so regardless of that, get past that. We all knew that there was something funny that was up. We saw, you know, big batches of ballots come through at one time at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the fraud allegations started rolling in. Well, I went elk hunting on Friday. And I'm up elk hunting in southern Colorado in the mountains. And I get a text message from someone with an article. And so I'm reading the article, which I normally wouldn't do. I get hundreds of emails or texts a day. I just kind of look at it and then respond something. But I actually read this article. And in it, it talked about in Georgia how the election machines went down for a couple hours while an update was installed in the middle of the election day. And if that's not strange enough, as I get further down, Eric Coomer pops up as a spokesperson for Dominion Voting Systems. So at that point, my stomach sank and I go, oh my gosh, I remember that guy.
So there's a lot more to the story. Then he goes and does more research. He finds out that Eric Coomer is involved in a lot of these election stories from around the world where Dominion was used. And Eric is quoted and has like a central role in all of these places. He also finds posts by Eric online that are horrific, just how violent he really is and what his real thoughts are. And then he is seeing that Eric Coomer, all of his stuff is being removed from the internet. He's being scrubbed. And so that's the report from Joe Altman. He also said he personally has two bodyguards now for his family. They have full-time guards. He was one of Sidney Powell's. He is one of Sidney Powell's witnesses. And I want to tell you another witness that we've learned about. This is a guy named Dr. This is Sidney. Remember, Sidney doesn't have any evidence. Remember, that's the story. She doesn't have any evidence. She doesn't know what she's talking about. That's what I hear from D.C. intellectuals, because she embarrasses them, because she's actually doing something, putting them to shame or exposing their lack of concern, exposing their lack of passion for something they should have a great deal of passion for. But I want to get back to this. Her other source is Dr. Kirshavarz Nia. Now, irony is that he was featured in the New York Times just recently and praised in September of 2020 for the work that he's done. Here's his background. He has a BA, MA, and PhD in various areas of electrical and computer engineering. He has advanced training from the Defense Intelligence Agency, CIA, National Security Agency, DHS, and Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He gave a, let me just read, I've got a couple of accounts here, but let me just see if I can give you a synopsis of a part of his testimony. He says, I conclude with high confidence that the election 2020 data were altered in all battleground states, resulting in hundreds of thousands of votes that were cast for President Trump to be transferred to Vice President Biden. These alterations were the result of systemic and widespread exploitable vulnerabilities in DVS, Eskidal, SOE software, and Smartmatic systems that enabled operators to achieve the desired results. In my view, the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. And he goes into such detail. I wish I had time. I'll just read this. On approximately 2:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, TV broadcast reported that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia have decided to cease vote counting operations and will continue the following day. The unanimous decision to intentionally stop counting by all five battleground states is highly unusual, possibly unprecedented, and demonstrates prior coordination by election officials in battleground states. There is no legitimate reason for them to do that. Let's see. He also said that the software performed data alteration in real time in order to maintain close parity among the candidates without raising red flags. And then he talks about how they use the thumb drives, how that's key to the voter alteration, is those thumb drives that they said there were so many missing in Pennsylvania, and that the witness said he witnessed someone inserting them like, what, I forgot what he said, 25 times maybe. He watched him himself. Nobody else was watching the guy inserting the thumb drives as it was downloading whatever it was downloading. I want to read you a couple of other. So that is the kind of witnesses that Sidney Powell has amassed. Affidavits from these kinds of people. This guy was just praised in the New York Times for his competence. All right, the math article I mentioned earlier, let me tell you, it's called Anomalies in Vote Counts and Their Effects on Election 2020. So, Adam, if you'll put that on our Facebook page, and I would just say, even if you are not mathematical or you just have a reasonable mind, you'll be able to, it's actually very readable. It's just that some of the real hard math stuff you might have to skip over, and some of you will love it. So, Anomalies in Vote Counts and Their Effects on Election 2020. Then there's another one. This is a guy named Matt Brainerd has been finding election findings, and he says they could easily, what he's found, could easily overturn three states. He's a data analyst, and I don't have time now to tell you about all of this, but this has nothing to do with the machines. It has to do with voting issues, about people, mail-in ballots, about dead people voting, about people giving wrong addresses. They have found enough of those things in over three states to overturn the election. That's what Matt Brainerd claims. Okay, so I just want to tell you, people are working. They're doing everything they can. The good people, the honest people, are fighting with all their might. So our job is, either wherever you are, maybe you're fighting too, and if you have a chance, do that. But on your knees and pray and ask God for the truth to triumph. In Jesus' name, I ask that. Talk to you tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.